Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is, and it's our live version of Real Ghost Stories Online at our new time that we're doing it at, 4 p.m. Central on Wednesday afternoon. I'm seeing folks tuning in right now. Sarah, welcome. All you have to do is call in live and share your real ghost story with us. It's open lines, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number for this version of the show. So when we do it live, that's our live number. If you're listening to the podcast version of this later on and it's not exactly at 4 p.m. Central on a Wednesday, well, that's not the number to call normally during the week. During the live version, this is the one to be calling in. Sarah, Elio, Stephen, welcome everybody to the program. This is going to be the new time that we're going to be doing the live version of the show, just so everybody knows, whether you're tuning in live right now or if you are listening to the feed of this later. We had to kind of move some things around to really make it work. It's summertime. Kids are out. There's just all schedules kind of get adjusted. If you have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about, how quickly that can change and mess with you. So this we found is the best time to do the live shows with where everybody's schedule is at and everything. And it'll be me that's going to be primarily here on the live shows going forward. But we're not going to give up on the live shows. We're not going to end the live shows. We love doing them. I know you guys love doing them as well. So this is our solution to that problem. So I'm hoping that you will continue to join us and make it work in your schedule. Another thought I had too, that's kind of neat about this, with our doing the live shows, almost in a daytime hour, essentially, depending on where you're at in the country. Facebook Live, it's streaming. We could actually be your drive home live show if you want to listen in and get ghost stories that way too. So it doesn't have to just be at home at night. And judging by our viewership right now, it really is not cut off lower than what it was on our normal evening hours. So welcome and thank you for joining us. I got a call coming in here right now at 619. You are the first caller on today's program. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Stevie Ruiz calling in from San Diego, California. I've written to you before.
Okay.
But I don't like my voice. So I've never called in, but this is a doppelganger story.
Ooh, those are always fun. Let's hear it.
Okay. In the 90s, I worked for one of those free entertainment weeklies that you find in big cities.
Sure.
The kind that they only get delivered once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had started working out in the delivery section, and I had moved up into working in the offices. So I had had a very unfriendly rivalry with a coworker who I'll call Jack. But we did work it out, but still things were a little iffy, as you know, because we weren't friends exactly, we just worked it out. Anyway, about 6 months after I had started working in the office, I get a phone call and I pick up the phone and I say, hello, so-and-so magazine. Mm-hmm. And Jack says, how did you get there so quickly? I said, what? Jack says, I'm over at the place where we rent the trucks, because since we only did it once a week, we rented trucks.
Okay.
And he says, but you were just here. I said, no, I haven't been over there all day. He says, no, seriously, I saw you. You gave me a really angry look, and I spoke to you. You didn't say anything to me. You just glared at me and got into one of the trucks, and it drove away. I said, that's impossible. I tell you, I have not been there all day. He's like, that is the weirdest thing. I said, yeah, don't know how to explain it, but that's my doppelganger story.
has anyone else ever in your life ever said that they saw you someplace that you weren't?
It actually happens fairly frequently. The earliest time I know of was a friend saw me in said friend's bedroom when I was, you know, 15 miles away in my own home. Most recently, about a year ago, my mother said that she saw me on the street and that I had long hair. But I cut my hair about a year ago. It's growing back in, but she distinctly saw me with long hair.
Creepy. Now either do you have a face that is kind of, you know, I guess recognizable, where someone could easily mistake you for someone else, or are you fairly distinct?
I think I'm distinct, but maybe I'm wrong. Another friend once saw me, called me. I was living in Montreal. He called me from Toronto saying, "Are you in Toronto?" I said, "No, I'm here in Montreal." He goes, "I just saw you." If you look at my user pic, you can see what I look like. As I said, I think I look distinctive, but maybe I'm wrong.
Interesting. Well, those doppelganger stories are always interesting, and there's so many variations to them. We've had them where someone, you know, dreams they're in an area, or almost kind of even daydreams they're somewhere else, and then the person, basically where they were daydreaming they were at, says, "Hey, I saw you over here." That's obviously not always the case, but there's so many variations to this concept. It's very intriguing.
The one thing that is interesting with this is I was awake in all of these and not necessarily even thinking about the location where I was seen.
It just seems to happen. Wow. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us today.
You're very welcome. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Thank you for calling in. Phone lines are open, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to share your ghost stories with us. And if you won't mind, everybody who's tuned in right now, on Facebook, as I always say when we do this live thing, Facebook only feeds it out to a certain amount of folks to let them know that we're there. Everybody who likes us, all like 26,000, I don't know what it is, it does not go. It goes to like a couple hundred in hopes that you watch. But if it realizes, oh, hey, maybe we should give this to people who actually said they want to like it, please do share this video right now. Please share the feed on your post. It helps other folks realize that that we're doing this thing live, and they don't miss it. It's not coming up in their feed 4 hours later, and they're like, "Ah, damn, I missed it," because I hear that quite often. And the only way that we can really correct that or help that is if you guys share it. There's no way for me to even monetarily boost it. Otherwise, I would. They only allow me to monetarily boost it after we're done being live. Maybe that will change someday, but otherwise, I'd be throwing some money into it right there saying, "Boost!" But as of now, I got to rely on you guys to press that share button, so please do that. I greatly appreciate that. Phone line is 216-446-7810 to share your ghost story with us. Caller at 312. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Juan Bataya. My Facebook name is Blessing Bataya. I'm coming from Chicago.
All right. Let's hear your ghost story.
All right. So this didn't happen to me. It happened to my mom in Mexico.
Okay.
And I thought I should just share it because I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
So my mother, she grew up in Guadalajara in Mexico, and back when she was growing up over there, it was a high poverty area, and she and my grandmother was a drunk, so she would always be out partying at night, and she'd come home and play poker with the other people that would get drunk in the neighborhood at her home, while my mom would stay out late at night. And my mom was like about 12 years old when this happened to her. She would stay out till 2 in the morning playing hopscotch, I think that's what it's called. And she'd wait for my grandmother to call her in after she was done drinking so she could go to sleep. So one day my mom was playing outside, and it was about 1 in the morning, and she says there was a little girl without shoes that came up to her and asked her if she could play with her, and she agreed. So they started playing together, and while my grandmother was inside playing poker with the rest of the people that lived in the neighborhood. So they played for about an hour, and my grandmother and called my mom inside the house, and my mom told the little girl she had to go in. The little girl was around her age, so the little girl had told her, she's like, well, I can't go home because my parents left and I don't know where they are and it's late and, you know, I don't want to stay in the street. So my mom decided to bring her in the house and ask my grandma if she could sleep over. So she brought her in, and my grandma was kind of drunk already. She had drank a lot. So she was at the end of the table. My mom brings her in and she's like, I was wondering if she could stay because she has nowhere to go. So my grandma, she took one look at the little girl and she screamed and fell to the floor like she fell off her chair. So the people that were playing with her tried to calm her down and she was like, what's going on? What's wrong? And she like, look at her feet. And everybody looked at her feet and her feet were normal. I mean, she didn't have any shoes on or socks. My mom said she was barefoot. And she's like, what's wrong with her feet? She's like, nothing. She didn't say anything. She's like, that must be my head. You know, I drank a lot. So she agreed. She let her sleep over. And my mom took her to her room and they slept on the same bed. So the next day, my mom woke up and woke my grandma up because where the little girl had slept was like the imprint of a little girl that was burnt like on the mattress. So like the little girl wasn't there, but there was like she burnt, like she completely just combusted, you know? And my grandma, she's like, my mom told my grandma that they invited a priest, and my mom just recently asked my grandma, like, what did she see? And my grandma said that day, when she brought the little girl in, that when she first took a glance at her, that she had a chicken leg and a horse leg. And I didn't get that at first, but my mom said that in Mexico, they believe that the devil has a chicken leg and a horse leg when it takes human form. So that was really like weird. So my mom's like, that really did happen, you know, and it's a really scary moment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could see why. I mean, that would be horrifying, especially when it's matching up to what people know as you know, something very dark, something like the devil, and it taking the form of some innocent child that just needed help. That would be a horrendous story. I think some of the scariest stories come from that part of the world that we get on this show. Very, very filled with very interesting and compelling ghost stories. Thanks for calling in this afternoon and sharing that with us.
No problem.
All right, you have a good one. The phone number is 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. 216-GHOST-10. As we do Real Ghost Stories online live at our new time, Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Central. Caller at 520. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Brandon, and I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, Brandon, you got a ghost story for us?
I do, but it's my husband.
All right, let's
so
hear it.
I don't have all the little details, but he is a public bus driver, and one night he was driving the bus. It was his last run of the evening. He had three passengers he could see in his mirror. So he went, you know, he's driving along, ding, the little bell goes off, he stops, two people get off. So he glances up just to check, and still there's a person. He can see the leg sticking out from behind a seat and a big floppy hat. So he's driving, and nobody's dinging the bell. He looks up, the person's still sitting there, and he's thinking, well, I hope this person knows I'm about to hit the end of the line, and I don't turn around and do the route again. I goes back to the yard. But he gets to the end, mm-hmm. opens the door, turns around, and there's nobody in the bus. So he goes up and down, looks under all the seats. Nobody's in the bus. So he's like, that's a hell of a thing. Comes home and tells me about it. A couple months later, he's on Facebook. There's a page where all the drivers kind of talk about stuff about work. And one of the drivers is like, hey, I just had this incident where I saw a person in my mirror on my bus, and I got to the end of the line, and there was nobody there. And all the other drivers were like, hey, me too, me too. And I guess this happens on the 3100 buses.
So it was a very common... Is there any history with the bus itself of accident, of parts being used on the bus that were from, you know, another bus, or like anything at all to coincide with the activity?
I don't know. I mean, the best thing we could guess is that there was... I mean, we have a lot of regular riders in this town. Mm-hmm. And it could be one of the people who just enjoyed riding the bus all day, and they may have passed it sometime and are still... Still catching a ride.
Still riding. Yeah. Wow. That's a creepy one. It reminds me almost of, you know, we've had airline stories of some planes where parts had been used or taken from a plane that had been in an accident or something of that nature. And then they were discovering that they were seeing stewardess or captains from another flight on the plane. But this is a bus. I'm just trying to wonder if there's any connection there of anything, anything of that sort. But that's a creepy one.
That's something to think about.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for calling in and sharing the story with us. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one. 216-GHOST-10 is our number. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. And I'm trying something different here as we're doing this thing live. I'm streaming on Facebook over here, and I'm streaming on YouTube over here on the other channel. One has a little bit better quality to it because I only have one that can actually run through the professional software and put the phone number and all that on screen. YouTube does not over here, so YouTube is being streamed just through the regular YouTube Live. But our phone number, wherever you may be watching us live on Facebook or YouTube, back and forth, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us as we do this thing live today. Flight 501, I think, is what Vicky says. I wanted to ask earlier in the comments here on Facebook, Chad Richard said earlier, you're the best, Tony. You're my inspiration for becoming a radio broadcaster. I'd be interested to hear what you're doing. But thank you for those kind words. But I'd always be interested in hearing what you're doing in the world of radio. Shoot me an email, or if you want to say more in the comments there, I can read it that way too. A caller at 305 will be next. First one to call at 312. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey there, Tony. My name is Sergio. I'm calling you from Chicago.
All right, Sergio. What you got going on for a ghost story today?
Well, this actually happened to me a couple of years ago in the south side of the city.
Okay.
I was with my girlfriend at the time. She was about 7 months pregnant. And we were getting home from the grocery store. We were renting out a third floor apartment. Mm-hmm. So, because we got home, we have a dog. We have a 1-year-old pit bull. So we had to let him out to use a washroom or whatnot. And so she got to the top of the stairs, and she let the dog down. And I waited for the dog to do its duty by the doorway. And I so happened to be on my phone while the dog was using the washroom or whatnot. And about a minute later, I clearly heard her voice right by my ear, said, hey. And as I heard her, I kind of turned around at the same time, and I'm like, what? And nobody was there. And then at the same time, the dog, he was literally by the alley, and he comes rushing towards me, barking, and I don't know, I just got really frightened. So I ran up the stairs. I'm like, hey, were you just downstairs? Did he call my name? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no. How am I going to go downstairs? I'm 7 months pregnant. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I sit alone. So fast forward 2 months later, my daughter was born. I came home from the hospital to take a shower after about, I think my girl was 24 hours in labor, I believe.
Okay.
And as I was home, the remote was literally on the sofa, and I was in one of the rooms looking for the diaper bag and stuff I was supposed to take to the hospital. And all of a sudden, the damn TV turns on, and again, the dog was barking, and I'm like, whoa. So I don't know, I think dogs are somewhat sensitive to these kind of things.
Sure.
And it was basically my story, that house is haunted by someone.
Someone, and the dog knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just talking the other day on an episode that's going to be coming up with someone who's very, very, very much into their pets. And it's interesting how animals sometimes seem to either be very, very protective. When something paranormal happens, they happen to be very scared and skittish and run away. It's very rare that they're just like indifferent on the topic. It's usually one or the other or some variation of. But they seem to sense things far before we do very often. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. Phone lines is 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us as we do this thing live. Going to a caller at 305. What's your name and where are you calling from today?
Hi, my name is Inez, and I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
All right. Let's hear your ghost story.
Okay. So it's actually something that's been happening, like, over time.
Okay.
And it's very subtle, at least on my part. But in my mother-in-law's house, because I have three kids, and then when my second child was born, which was the first boy, we didn't know this at the time, but he's actually autistic. And I think whatever's in her house has taken a preference to him, but not in a bad way, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it first started when he was just a few months old. We went over her house, and she has set up one of the rooms for the kids, one bed for my daughter, mm-hmm. and a crib for my son. So this one time he was having like an episode where he was crying, and I didn't know what was going on. And out of nowhere, he has like this toy that was that's like a soccer ball. We actually still have it. And it's the type of toy that you really have to like hit it hard or like actually kick it for it to make noise. And it was just there in the crib, and it started making noise by itself. And then my son stopped crying. We didn't think anything of it at the time. But then a few hours later, he started crying again. We were in the living room, and that room is right off the living room. When he started crying, I hear the toy in the crib, like making noise again by itself. Nobody touches the toy. It's just making noise by itself. So I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. Well, fast forward like a year, we moved in to her house because she lived by herself. It's a 4-bedroom house. And we're like, you know, let's save some money. I was in school. So we moved into her house. And then I started noticing little things here and there. Like I would see shadows or actually, like a little while after we moved in, I was pregnant with my third kid. And I lay down because I was really tired in the afternoon. And she was outside with my other two kids. And as soon as I lay down, I hear three knocks on the door. So I didn't think anything of it. I didn't know three knocks was supposed to be like a spirit or a ghost or something.
Sure.
So I lay down and I hear the three knocks and I'm like, come in. And then nobody answers. So then I get up, I open the door, there's no one there. I go outside and I ask her if she knocked on the door. And then she's like, no, I've been here the whole time. So I was like, okay, that was kind of weird because it was like a loud knock. It wasn't like a soft knock.
Yeah.
And then in my daughter's room, every time I would go into her room, not every time, like several times I would go into her room and then her DVD player would turn on and the disc thing, the slot would come out. And then it got to the point that I was literally saying hi to whatever it was, like, hi, good morning. Because when it would happen, I'd be like, hi, good morning, like that. And then my my mother-in-law actually told me that she was doing dishes, and she saw a man, like she saw it super clear, like a man, she could tell the clothes that he was wearing, just walked behind her, and she saw the reflection in the window, the sink window, right from the sink, and she saw the reflection, and he walked into the laundry room. So she followed him, and there was nobody in there. And now that we have moved out, she has told me that she feels most activity in the kitchen, but that now it's happening so often, and that it's become like part of her life, pretty much. And sometimes she gets scared, but for the most part, she has dealt with it, and that she'll be doing dishes, and something just moves and falls, or she'll see things just moving, not necessarily falling, and that she heard a man say good morning to her as she was doing the dishes, and that she has heard a woman, I guess she said she was laying down, sitting on the recliner, and she heard a woman say, okay, like question mark, okay, and she said for whatever reason that freaked her out, and she just told whatever it was, like, stop talking to me. I am tired of you guys. Stop talking to me. But I mean, I don't think it worked because it's still there. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
It obviously sounds like there's something that's going on there that, you know, really can't be explained. You know, how, you know, is she still there? Is this just an ongoing thing, or is this something from the past? I guess I missed that part.
No, she's still there. And okay. But it's been going on for like 5 years now, 5 or 6 years.
How troubled is she by it when these things are not going on? Has she kind of made peace with it, or is she still very much like, eh, I don't like this?
She says that she doesn't really like it now because she lives there alone.
Yeah.
But that she doesn't think it's anything bad, but she's still scared.
Yeah. It's almost just like something's kind of cohabitating there. Maybe not super, negative, but just kind of there. Which, you know, if there shouldn't be something there, you know, as from our standards, shouldn't be something there. That would be, you know, rather unnerving. So I can understand that.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling and sharing that with us this afternoon.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too. All right. Phone number 216-446-7810 is our phone number. 216-GHOST-10. Phone lines are completely open at this moment in time. So if you'd like to call in, no waiting to get on the air. See, we got a lot of folks listening in today here on Facebook and YouTube from over in Europe. So thank you guys. And it probably is a little more convenient if we're doing this in late afternoon here in the U.S. For you guys to be able to hear it over there. So welcome to a live version of the program. This is going to be our new regular time. I know there was a question of how do you call in if you're over there? Well, it would in fact be a long distance call. So it's the same number you see on screen, but you would need to do the country code and all that to get in, because it is a U.S. Base number. But if you use a U.S. Country code to call in, you should be able to get in fairly easily if you want to call in and share your ghost story with us. The cheapest way to do that, if you wanted to call in from overseas or any place outside of the U.S., would probably be using something like Skype and dialing out. It's probably just pennies a minute as opposed to... Does anyone even have a landline anymore? Or I know cell carriers, you know, if you dial that way, that can be pretty pricey in itself. So my best advice would probably be dialing that through a Skype or something of that nature to save some money. So you're aware of how to dial in. Again, 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 216-GHOST-10. Phone lines are open. I saw another question that was just put up here on the board. Are you still sending out bunk bed bells? Yes, we are. I don't think I have one in here. They're in the other studio. But we are still doing bunk bed bells. So you are welcome to get one of those if you sign up for a yearly EPP membership. About once a month or so, I go through all of the yearly EPP signups, and that's where I send those out. So if you sign up in the last month or two, yours should be coming shortly. If you've not done so yet, sign up for that yearly EPP membership, and you get yourself the bunk bed bell in the mail. And it says, Lisa says, I never got mine. Well, Lisa, it just depends when you signed up. Like I said, if you signed up the last month or two, probably not out yet. I think the last batch was roughly around a month and a half, 2 months ago when I got them sent out. But they do go out in batches. It's just, it's a chore, honestly, putting the bunk bed bells together because, you just kind of got to, get the bell, and then we sign them, and then we wrap them, and then we put them in the packages, and then we put all the address, everything, stamp them, postmark the tracking, and then get them out. So it's like a 5-6 step process of getting them out there, but it does take a little bit of time, so I try to do it in big batches. I don't know if it works better, just do it like as they come in, but that's kind of the system I have in place. If you're wondering, again, as folks are watching this live on Facebook, of a different time than normal, yes, we're doing this at this time now, Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. It just makes more sense we have kids, obviously. You're probably aware of that if you listen to the show regularly, and managing where everybody's at and when, and so that's where you have me doing the live show. Jenny's not going to be on the live shows normally because of all that. So we're still going to do it, though, as you guys obviously love it. We love doing this show. I love doing this show with you guys. So that's how we're going to do it. It's funny because I did the live shows by myself forever. It was a nice treat to have her on these the past a couple of months. But before that, you did just have me on them. So you got me again on them. So that's what we got going on here with the live shows. Phone line again is 216-446-7810. I want you to know we have a great EPP episode. Me and Jenny just recorded that just before I ran in here to do this episode. I wrapped that up it was 10 minutes in between finishing that episode, which is now posted, by the way, at ghostpodcast.com. I post that pretty much immediately. And then I ran in here to get this one started. But that episode is out. It's called Get Me Before They Do. And if you like the stories of paranormal activity in a medical setting, there is a couple really awesome stories on the episode about that, where it's a woman who's working in a hospice setting and very fearful of or runs into a very fearful woman of, someone is coming to get me. You have to get out of here before they come and get me. You're going to be shocked by who it is that comes and gets her. And then when she passes, and not at all what I expected, but it's a good one. I'd say probably one of the best stories that we've had from a medical facility really ever on this show. And that's in this week's EPP episode, EPP 197. Is what we are up to now. And that is posted at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you have signed up to be an EPP through Patreon, it is there as well. So a couple places to get that episode. Phone line again, 216-446-7810. Completely open right now if you want to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. In the meantime, we'll go to one of these calls. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Jamie, and I'm from New York City. I wanted to get your opinion on something. Recently, I've been starting to think that I have some slight sensitivity. Over the years, I've gotten feelings of people watching me and no one being there. I once, in Israel, in a place that I later found out is haunted, felt someone tap me on the shoulder and no one was behind me. A few years ago, after my uncle passed away, I saw him sitting in his apartment. I blinked and he was gone. And then I, at times, got the feeling that he was there, or someone was there at least, even when I was alone. Last few years, I would see little glimpses of shadows out the corner of my eye, even in broad daylight. There have been times where I'll walk down the hallway of my apartment building and feel like I see a face watching me from around the corner, and just as I come into view of it, it ducks behind the corner, and then nobody is there. I did some research on sensitivity and found out that it could be genetic. My dad told me that when he was in his 20s, he got hit head on by a car in New York City. And if you've ever been to New York City, you know that the streets can be very wet. He had been in pre-med in college and a medic in the army for several years. He, to this day, 40 years after the accident, cannot figure out how he ended up on the other side of this wide New York City street, and he cannot figure out, even with all his training, how he wasn't way more, was well enough to get up and walk home a few blocks. I'm wondering if maybe he had a guardian angel that saved him, because he did have grandparents and several aunts and uncles who disappeared in Europe during the Holocaust. He thinks, and I think, that maybe he had somebody watching over him. Maybe one of them saved him, and maybe my sensitivity could come from him. I don't know. I do think my mom watches over me, who passed away when I was a kid. I'd like to know what you think. I've been a listener for a long time, and I hope to hear this on your show. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Thank you for the call, and I would agree. You know, there's somebody clearly there watching out for him, or watching, that was watching out for him in that specific incident. You know, who was it? Without more, you know, I think more background there, or more to the story, it's difficult to say who. But very often we hear that of loved ones who have passed, who almost, sometimes it feels like they get assigned to watching out for their next of kin to. For lack of a better term. So I could very easily see that that would be what was going on there. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Got a caller from, I think, country code 313. Where are you calling from, and what's your name?
Yes, this is me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from the Netherlands. I'm the one who wanted to call in with a landline.
All right. Well, let's hear your ghost story from the Netherlands. Welcome, and thank you for calling.
Hi. Good evening. Well, it's 23:30 right here, so it's late in the evening.
Sure.
And I love your show, and I love you and Jenny.
Thank you.
And I'm so terribly happy that you guys are doing this, especially for us who have paranormal stories and who are, yeah. You know, I basically grew up around the paranormal. My aunt is a psychic medium. My dad was very psychic. My grandfather was very psychic. I am very psychic. I'm a sensitive. I'm an empath. Both my children are very psychic and an empath. My daughter is seeing, yeah, auras. So it's really, yeah, in the family with us. So from a very young age, I experienced, yeah, things around me which I couldn't explain, which were normal to me, of course, as a young child. And yeah, as a young child, you don't know any better. I heard stories. I had the funniest story telling me from my great grandmother, who was working in Germany, and this was about 1800s, and she was into the paranormal, and she would late at night bunk on every door and then hide in the closet and say, there's paranormal activity, there's poltergeist activity going around here, and she would then hide in the closet. So that was really funny. But to tell my first story, which is my first, I'm a little nervous, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
It's my first time calling in.
Go ahead, take your time.
So the first time I really, really, really realized that I was seeing something, we had spread the ashes of my dad. And I was 14 years old, And so it was a very emotional day, of course. And we had done all things all day. And at the end of the night, I was in the car, and we were going back home. And the girlfriend of my father told me that at the days before the spreading of the ashes, she heard noises. She heard tapping certain things. I can't find the words right now because I'm so nervous.
Sure.
So she told me this just right before I wanted to go to bed. Well, thank you. That's very nice. So I went to bed, nervous as hell, of course, because I was 14 years old. She just told me that she saw and heard things and that she thought it was my dad, letting her know that everything was fine. My dad passed away within a month, and he was sick. He had cancer, so he passed within a month. He heard he had cancer just 3 days after, on his birthday, and a month later, and 3 days later, he died. So a month and 3 days of his birthday. So I laid in bed, and it was pitch dark, and that time, it was in the 90s, we had light bulbs that had colors. So I had a colored light bulb, and I had a green one, so I put it on because I heard all the noises. And I was scared, of course, because, you know, you think you're making yourself crazy, and you think you're hearing things. So I thought, you know what, I'm just go to sleep. You're just making yourself crazy. And all of a sudden, I looked at the door, and I saw what we now call a shadow person. Clear as day. It was not blacker as black, but I could see it was a shadow person. And it was very slowly, coming towards me. And I was thinking, what the heck, what's going on? So I put off the light, I put on the light, but it was still there, so it didn't change. So, and when it was just a few feet away from me, I thought, oh my God, you know, this must be my dad. Just no one letting me show that he's here, because they say it takes 6 to 8 weeks for a person who passes away to know what to do. So the easiest way to come around is a shadow person. It takes not so much energy, so a shadow person is the easiest way to come around. So in myself, I said, Dad, if this is you, I'm sorry, I cannot handle this yet. I'm sorry. And it slowly just faded away, and it was gone. So that was my first real story of the paranormal. And I have many stories. It's weird, but this is one of my first.
When you had that experience, I mean, it almost sounds like, I mean, at least it listened, and it understood that it was kind of overwhelming you. And when you said, can't deal with this, this is too much, it didn't push its agenda or push it itself to be known. Because that can make it really uncomfortable for any future experiences. Did things, I mean, you said you had some other experiences. Was there, did have things gotten easier for you in terms of paranormal to deal with them when they happen?
Because I am a sensitive and I'm an empath, it took me a while for me to realize what I felt was me or was something else I felt.
Sure.
And, you know, so I know it sounds weird, and for those who among us who have who are empaths, like Jenny, and she knows, it's a feeling, you know. So, you know, my mom has passed away, my dad has passed away, my sister has passed away. Sure. I'm the only one who's still alive. It sounds really harsh, but I'm the only one who's still alive. So I have many people around me, and I feel them all the time. So I know I'm safe. I know I'm being, it's not scary for me anymore. And, it's my whole life. So I never had a real negative thing, thank God. Mm-hmm. I mean... Yeah, but I mean, so many people, when they say they see a shadow person, it freaks them now out. I mean, at 14 years old, I didn't know it was a shadow person. Later on, when I started to watch all the shows like Ghost Adventures and Tennessee's Raid Chasers and all this stuff, then I started to realize, what the heck? Yeah. What I saw was a shadow person. But when it felt like it was my dad. It sounds really weird, but, you know, my dad was the one who told me about paranormal activity, because his half-sister is my aunt, who is the psychic medium. So, You know, it's in our family. It's something normal. It's my daughter sees auras. It's the normalest thing. She just turned 12. And she's just here with me. She noticed I was calling you,
yeah.
So she ran out of bed.
Let me ask you a quick question about it, because you said you have a lot of family members who have passed, and you're very empathic.
Yeah.
You know, when people are living, and you're in the same room with someone, even before sometimes they're even there, you know, they can be coming down the hall. There may be an unexpected visit, but you can just like, you kind of, there's that sense. It's like, oh, I can sense it's my aunt or it's my cousin or it's my sister, my brother, whatever it may be. And in the living, you get that sense of people. And I don't think a lot of people really put a ton of weight on that. I think a lot of times they just, well, that's kind of weird, but that's how it is. Do you, in their death, in their passing, but them on the other side, are you able to sense specifically, like, who's who in that same sort of a way, if they're around you at a certain time?
Yes. Yeah, for me, it is. Okay. Most of the time, I feel my mom around me. My mom and I were very close. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like it's my grandmother. It's so weird that you can tell. It's the energy. I don't know. It's really weird. And the easiest way for me to explain to somebody who can't understand what an empath or what a sensitive feels, it's the same thing as you come to a birthday party or a party, and you walk in, and just 5 minutes before you have walked in, there has been a big row, there's been a fight, and people are fighting, but when you are walking in, everything is fine. Everything is cleared, but you walk in and you feel the energy like, oh, something was really wrong. And that's like the same thing like an empath or a sensitive feels. It's something that's there that's not supposed to be there, and it's so difficult to explain, but for us it's really normal, and so many people have that. That's why I listen to your show a lot, and you talk about mental health and people who have mental health then sometimes say, I see spirits. You know, I have mental health, and I'm a borderliner, and it took me 34 years. I'm 38, so it didn't take me 34 years, but it took me to my 34 year that I realized which was which, that as a borderliner or an ex-borderliner, I don't suffer from it anymore, but that which was which. And
sure.
So, and I'm not going to say that every person who has a mental ill issue is a sensitive,
sure,
or the other way around, or every person who is a sensitive has mental issues, but I definitely know that people who are suffering from mentally ill are very, very easily to be manipulated with that realm, because their veil is so much thinner.
Sure.
So it took me a while even then to realize which was which. Definitely, as an empath, you know, when I watch certain videos, I know that the feeling I'm feeling is not me, and it's theirs, and yet I can't explain.
Sure. I'm glad that you've been able to understand that and make some peace with it, so it's less confusing, less troubling, just going through life, because obviously we hear from a lot of people who are very, very much struggling with that battle of what is what.
It is, because it took me such a long time, you know. It as a borderliner, you can flip like a leaf on a tree.
Yeah.
So it's you, one moment you can be happy, and the other moment you're raging. So at that point, I never understood my feelings, but those feelings are so different than my empathic feelings.
Sure.
I can, you know, sometimes I'm crying, but without even knowing. Why I'm crying, but then I'm watching something, and then I know it's from them. It's really weird, but
sure.
It is. And there's something else I want to explain, and I don't know yet, and it is something completely different, and I'm sorry I'm rattling on, because I'm so happy I'm on the show.
Okay, very quick.
I'm always watching you guys. I'm so happy. Okay, I want to tell you, you're always asking me, like, people are always asking, oh, ghosts are floating, or ghosts are walking through a wall.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true. For those who do not know why or how, very easiest, what I just told you about my dad, the easiest way to show yourself as being a shadow person. Well, if you want to completely be fully you, it takes so much energy. So 9 out of the 10 times you see a half-body apparition, or just a head, or just an arm, or whatever. So that is why it's like it looks like somebody's floating. They're not floating, but they're just not fully showing themselves. That's the easiest way to explain. And then it's the thing about ghosts or spirits walking through walls. They're not walking through walls. They can't. It's the they are at one point. They rearranged the room, and at that one point there was a doorway. By the time where they were living, there was a doorway. Mm-hmm. So if they're walking through a wall, at that point there was a doorway. So that's why ghosts are walking through walls.
And that we've talked about it a couple times, of even levels too, where it's like it looks like they're at some balcony level or something where there's no balcony or floor that's not there anymore. And it's like, well, what was the original structure of the building? Because that likely has a lot to do with it. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and your insights here today, and for spending 15 minutes on an overseas call. I really do appreciate that.
No problem. I love you guys.
All right.
So. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You take care. Have a good one over there. We got another caller at 360. It's been on hold for a little bit. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. My name's Ashley, and I'm calling from Bremerton, Washington.
Hey, Ashley. Welcome to the show.
What Ashley really is your last caller and how she was talking about how she's an empath and she's been kind of going through life not really knowing what feelings were hers or if she was feeling them from like other energies and spirits. And I get that so much.
Yeah.
And I actually have a story about that, and I wanted to get your opinion.
Okay.
My husband and I, we have really good friends, and we're always doing barbecues and going over to each other's houses. And this particular friend, I won't say their name because I didn't ask them if I could share. But their house is in the area, and we would go over there a lot. And every time I was there, I was always feeling fine, having a good time. But for some reason, I guess my face kind of changed, just like I guess I looked like I was upset or something. And I didn't really realize until later that I was feeling really drained of my energy. But at the time, I didn't feel drained. I don't know. Everybody else could tell, but I couldn't really tell. And then a couple times after that, I found out that the person who used to live in that in the house hung themselves out in the carport, and the ropes are still up there.
Oh, jeez.
They had to cut the person down, and like it's still tied there. There's two separate ropes. So once I found this out, of course, then I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's why everybody is asking me if I'm okay, is because whatever energy is there is probably trying to get my attention, and I'm an empath, so that happens to me a lot, and I'm still learning about all of that. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that's totally what it must be. And that's where I kind of made my mistake, is that the next time I went over there, I couldn't help myself but to stare at the ropes a little bit longer and think about it and kind of open my door, but not necessarily not to like talk to him, but I was thinking about it and showing it attention. Mm-hmm. And there was one night where I kind of mentioned it while I was standing outside, which I think was a little bit more disrespectful now that I think back, and I totally regret even mentioning it all, but we decided to leave. We were having a good time, and my husband left to go, and I was driving home by myself, and this was late at night. And the car ride home was fine, and as soon as I turned down the street that I live on, there's no street lights, we're kind of out in the woods, and it's really dark. All of a sudden, everything, the energy in my car just completely changed. It was like, I don't even really know how to explain it, but I could feel him, the man, sitting in my back seat. And it's kind of like the negative space, or if you have your eyes closed and you can feel somebody's like hand right in front of your face, or it's just like that feeling, you just know that something's there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I know this, but I know that he was sitting on the edge of my seat and kind of like leaning up, like looking at me and then kind of hoping that I see him, you know, like somebody kind of biting their nails, like, oh my gosh, I hope that this person can see me. And at that point, I was terrified and I start speeding down the road and I just tell him, you have to leave me alone. You can't follow me home. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. And I was just trying to tell him that he needed to leave me alone. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got home, I was kind of shaken up and went upstairs in my room, kept the lights on, and said again, I said some prayers and just kind of protect myself. I didn't want to be open to that. And I was laying down, probably watching HGTV or something to get my mind off of it. My collarbone started hurting. Like I don't really know how to explain some of the feelings that I get. It's not really physical pain, but it's just kind of like a feeling that's there. Like something is there, but I'm not physically like in pain, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
And, so then I had to say, you know, leave me alone. So I stopped going over there for a while. And it kind of freaked me out. And they know all of the things that happened in their house and some weird things happened to them. But I did decide to go out on a limb one more time and go over there. And I protected myself, grounded, whatever, and went over there. And mid-conversation with one of my friends, I had to run away from her and I went and vomited in their yard. And it wasn't late at night. We weren't drinking. I didn't eat anything that would have upset my stomach. Mm-hmm. It was just mid-conversation, bam, and I just had to run. And I was like, after that, I was done. Yeah. I haven't gone back since. And it's just kind of scary and something kind of attached because I opened myself up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to kind of still listening. But how would you go about trying to maybe get rid, not, I don't know about get rid of, but cutting down the ropes or like, how would you, like, what would you do?
Well, you that's easy. You just, first of all, you just Google how to get rid of hanging ropes that are someone committed suicide with in my attic, because I'm sure that's a very common, you know, it was on HGTV the other day. It was on an episode of Fixer Upper. Joanna had some great ideas on what to do with the ropes, how to make them into a lovely wall decor, well, a tribute at the same time. I'm not trying to make horrible jokes, but I am. You know, I think, you know, depending on, you know, what the religious persuasion is, you know, I think that might be something where you get it down, maybe try and have them, you know, blessed and buried. That would be my guess. I mean, that's usually what's done within like church settings when something is desecrated or something is, you know, connected to something really negative. Depending on what it would be. I mean, there's a gazillion roads that could go down there, but it's usually something where it's blessed and then literally buried back into the ground. That would probably be the best bet. I mean, you may be able to take them down and absolutely nothing happens, but, you know, obviously there was something very traumatic that happened there, and whether or not that person is still there, I was almost going to make I wasn't even trying to make a horrible joke. I was going to say they're hanging out, but that's not at all what I'm if I say that, it's not at all. I'm not trying to be funny there, but there, just there, being there, you know, that, you know, even if they're not there, the energy is, and that's
exactly, that's exactly what I was feeling too.
And that's what's going to linger no matter what. So the person could still be there wandering around. But if they are still, you know, if they're not, the energy is going to be there. There may be a better way of getting that down rather than just cutting them down and, you know, just tossing them. So I guess that would probably be the route I would take. I would, if you're religious of some sort, I would talk to someone involved in your church and say, hey, I'd like to get this down respectfully and as peacefully as possible. What would you suggest? And maybe they can help with that.
Yeah. And I think that was their thing too, is because I'm the friend who's the empath. I do stuff like that. And I, you know, cleanse my spaces and those of my like family members. But I just did not feel comfortable volunteering for that just because I would kind of already went through those experiences, which had never happened to me before.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe they should find somebody like within the church. That's kind of what my idea was, but I wasn't sure cutting it down without, you know, doing some kind of anything
essentially
to kind of respect him in a way.
I think it's kind of a cleansing type thing more than anything else. You know, I don't know that the person really would want to be remembered in that state, you know, where they necessarily want a bunch of attention there on that moment. You know, I would just, I think it's kind of a cleansing, you know, purifying the area of the energy more than anything else. That'd be my take on it. There's obviously no right or wrong answer to that, but that would be where I would go. Emmy Powers on Facebook says, Joanna had great ideas for ropes, maybe not for getting rid of them. So God knows what. I don't make a craft out of it.
What did you stir up?
Don't involve it with anything from Hobby Lobby or anything like that. That would just go bad very quick. So hope that helps.
Nope. You got it.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to probably one more call here before we wrap things up for the day. We'll try and do this somewhat quick. Caller at 603. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. My name's Mandy. I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Mandy. Welcome to the program. You got the last call of the day. Let's hear your story.
Well, I'm so nervous. Anyway, so I was binge listening today at work, and I just want to touch base on one thing that you had said that somebody had called in or written in about a dream that they had then it had come true.
Okay.
So that's happened to me for as long as I can remember. And you had said that you had wondered if it was like some people felt that it was gray, other people felt like it was a curse. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's the biggest curse I've ever had in my life. It's like the worst thing. I'll tell you that I had a couple, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the cases, but I saw a couple bigger people that passed away. Like, I actually see how it happens and who does it and what happens after they pass, meaning like how they dispose of the body or however you want to say it. Anyways, regardless, I never really paid attention to it. I was always so young that I just kind of, you know, was just like, oh, well, whatever. I don't think I really understood it because I was so young.
Sure.
So just kind of thought they were nightmares, you know?
Yeah.
So then I got older and I had, I have four kids, three boys and a girl. And one night I had a dream that my middle son was going to pass away in a car accident. I mean, I saw everything right down to the way he left after the car accident. And oh my, I could cry because it makes me emotional. But regardless, I just, at that point in my life, it became a curse.
Sure.
You know, it became something, thank God he didn't.
Okay.
I can honestly say it's the only dream I've ever had of something like that that hasn't come true.
Yeah.
And in the dream, he was a lot younger than he is right now. So fingers crossed that it stays that way. But I don't know. I just wanted to touch base with you. Like I said, I had heard that today and just wanted to tell you, I don't know for everybody, but for me, it's definitely a curse.
Well, I could see that being a curse.
So you don't know these people.
Yeah. And then especially
you don't know these people. You don't know where they are.
Yeah. And then to decipher, I mean, because, I mean, I'm sure you have dreams, too, that do not come true as well. But, I mean, would that be accurate, or does every dream you have seem to come to life?
So I've had 9 total, including my son, and the only one that hasn't come true as of right now is my son.
Okay.
All 8 of them actually, like, I can pinpoint, like I said, I can name a couple, but I just don't dare to say.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm allowed to say
no,
the names.
No, don't say any names. But, I mean, but you do dream, so, you had more than, I mean, dreams that are, I mean, you're probably talking about fairly traumatic dreams, correct? It's not like every single.
Correct. Okay. Like, you know, like you actually, right. I mean, there's nightmares that don't come true and not everything like that. But these dreams, you know, where you actually, like that type of dream, you've actually, those have all come true except that one. So.
Okay. I mean, it's got to be difficult to decipher and, you know, to know, you know, because, I mean, you're certainly, your mind is going to take you places that are dark and scary that are not anything to do with reality. But then you seem to have a bit of the curse there where it does seem to foretell some things. But, you know, I would, you know, just, you know, stay, you know, holding on to the truth that not every single one of those are going to be coming true and not everything that you have is going to be you know, turning into reality. But I can see how that would plague you, where it's, how do you know which one is there or not? But just, you know, rest assured, not all of them do. And that's, you know, I guess the little bit of peace you can take when you have, that gift, as someone would call it. You know, I don't know. It's not a gift. You know, when it's a gift you don't want. It's when you'd love to take back to the store even after the return policy is expired and go, I don't care. Just take this back. I didn't want my money back. Just it's yours. So, yeah,
that's right. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I understand how difficult that is. I really appreciate you calling in.
Well, thanks, Tony. Have a great night.
All right. You too. And I think that's going to wrap up our live edition of the program for today. Thank you, everyone who called in. Greatly appreciate it. Mark it on your phones. Mark a calendar. Change your alarms. I know some folks are setting alarms for this every when we're doing it on Tuesdays. But new time for this. Wednesday afternoons, 4 p.m. Central is when we are doing it. So it's 5 p.m. in the east, 4 p.m. Central. If you're in Mountain, it's it would be 3 o'clock and 2 o'clock out west every single Wednesday afternoon. That's the time, at least for the time being. Who knows when school starts up what the heck the kids are going to be involved in. We'll have to move it again. I'm going to try and keep this. When I set this time, I said I want to try and keep it here even into the school year if at all possible. So going forward, that's our set time. So thanks for joining us. Until next time, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.